Well, they were fighting that. Well, that was about 11 o'clock that night. And another one over the Grand Camp. It exploded, but it didn't cause as much damage as the High Flyer and I forget the other name of it. His other ship that blew it up. Well, the High Flyer, it blew to pieces. They couldn't hardly find nothing. Just a few pieces of iron was about a mile away from there. It blew it up. And so about 3 minutes, 5 minutes, oh yeah, 5 minutes past one that morning, that's when the Grand Camp went off. But they was on the way back. And we didn't know it until they got in and they finally got a hold of the radio and let us know. But we was waiting down there to see if I'm to come in, so we was going to relieve them and go over there.
Did you go over there?
No, I didn't go. No, they wanted volunteers and firemen to go over there and pick up them bodies. I told them no, I wasn't. They could lay me off if they wanted to. I wasn't about to go over there. Well, they'd find pieces of arms and a head and stuff like that, and I didn't go for that kind of stuff. But I think it was, 6,000, wasn't it?
No, 600, I think.
600, yeah, that's right. It was 6,000 in 19 last time, is what I meant. But
I remember reading someplace that they found the guy's foot. And
yeah.
They had the foot of the Galveston Causeway.
Yeah.
I mean, over on the mainland where the causeway comes
through. They found somebody some of the wheels, a mile away. Where we was living, I was living in 710H. And we was on the front gallery when that hoistman went off. That was 9:15 in the morning when the hoistman went off. You know, that thing just shook that house like that, and I went over to one side of the gallery.
That's about 15 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it break windows all over the gallery?
Yeah, broke windows. Oh, it broke all along here. Peter Gingler's and what was the name of that place on 21st Street? Maureen Yancey's husband, he had it. It was some kind of a store. But anyway, he was over here on 20th and Market right across from the fire station. And they had a great big old store there.
Grandpa?
Huh?
What did you do? Just take the girls down and leave them at the ball game?
Yeah, I'm going back to get them after a while. And they broke them windows. All them windows was as wide as this wall there. It was, I guess, about 15 by 20, the windows. Then they had to board them all in. They broke a bunch of windows down here. Yeah, and then toward the last, that old boat started to get rotten on the bottom. And you could take and shove your finger right through that thing, the rivets. You take it, knock it off like that, knock the rivets off there, see? And one morning, I was under the wharf, I was fixing my sheephead. He's going to every morning, sitting to all day long, catch sheephead. So I was about half a block down underneath the wharf, and they come down hollering for me. Well, I knew what was wrong. I thought we had a fire somewhere. They come on there and they holler, just, the boat is sinking, the fire boat is sinking. I got on that thing and bowed down like that. And it was all...
It was tied up.
It was tied up, but the rope was tight, see?
Yeah.
So I had my skiff down there. So it was right alongside the sewer. There was a sewer coming out of there. No, there was all that stuff coming around, floating out there. And so I got my boat, my skiff, and I got on the side of it, and I had a cut in their wooden plug. And I put my arm down there pulling all that stuff flying on it. And I reached down and put this plug in the hole, see? Well, that boat, my skip, turned over. It wasn't really hitting the side of that thing, it would have come underneath that thing. I'd have drowned it. So I got it all fixed up. Then they went over to the dry dock, and what they done was just covered with cement, about that thick. And they finally sold it. They sold it to some guy for, I believe, $500. But they had two engines, two pumps in there. They pumped 500 gallons a minute. They had great big pumps. Oh, them things were worth, they was worth $15,000-$20,000 itself.
I was interested last night when you were talking about the gangsters in Galveston. What were the factions that were involved?
Well, Maceo, he had a bunch of those. You know, like I told them, young kid wasn't fun. And the first time they had a fire, and that's when Maceo went down. That was back in 1931. It burned completely to the ground. And nobody knew these kids. See, they was all young kids, I'm 17, 18 years old. So that morning, the Texas Rangers come in there. And them kids, every one of them had a gun. They was throwing them guns and eat that old burnt up stuff and everything. And them kids, I wouldn't take a chance with them kids, because them kids was, you know, they shake it, they'd shoot you. I'd rather have a man, you know, that knowed what he was going to do.
Sure.
Come up to me with a gun and one with a shaking hand, he'd like to pull that trigger any minute.
Didn't they have some that were pretty well knew what they were doing? Didn't you say they had that one old guy that...
Oh, yeah, they had fatigue. That fatigue, oh, he knows what he was doing. But Maceo didn't kill him. He had men to kill him. Kill him. Do the shooting as he's killing him. And there was a draw. I've seen three or four killings in one night, in 1 week. It got so bad, they called Little Chicago. That's how bad it got here. And it was rough.
Why don't you tell about Parsuit and the machine guns?
Oh, the Maxi Parsuit? He was a hijacker. He hijacked these bootleggers, see? Fetch a truckload of liquor and hijack them and get the liquor. So, he was living in Houston. So, he'd come on down, he'd sneak on in here, and they'd be waiting for him. See, they were slick. They had me, you know, watching him every minute of it. Of the day. So they shot first time at him and shot him, I believe, in the leg and the arm or something. He got all right then. But that second time they got him on 17th and O with a machine gun on, man. They just tore his body to pieces. They got him that time. Then they had another one, Mitchie Frankovich. I was born and raised with that guy. He was a groovy. And he was a hijacker. And he lived in Houston. And he'd come to town every Saturday night. He'd tell him, he said, I'm coming to town. And he'd come to town, and he'd come 60 miles an hour through this town. And his mother and father living on 10th and Broadway. He'd come on in there. They shot him a couple of times, but they finally got him, though, in the later years in Houston. Oh, he was there.
Remember, what about that music,
boy? Joy Music?
Yeah.
Well, that's the one that fatigue kills. See, he got in some trouble selling liquor. They caught him. And I don't know if it was Max or Tuesday who it was, but anyway, one of them guys went his bond for $6,000. So he jumped it. Well, after he jumped to his bond, they had to pay for it, see? He went on down to Mexico. He's gone about 6 months. So he come on back, and that's when Danny was telling you about them guys that's inside of this place on 24th and Church. I forget the name of that place now.
What, his guy?
No, these other guys. The woman was after him, see? And he walked in the door. Just as soon as he hit that door, they just shot him. And about a week before that, I had a fight with him. Him and I had a fight over, I mean, 50 cents. Over slot machine. No, it wasn't 50 cents, but I broke his glasses. He used to have them three glasses, you know, in them slot machine. And when you hit $5, you'd hit three bars, see? Well, I was working over at the opera house over there. I was running the stage over there, on the stage end, see? One half of the stage. And I was only working Sunday and Monday, just 3 hours a day, 6 hours for the... And I got $32.50 a week. That was back in 1918. That's when he had all these vaudevilles coming in, his road shows, minstrels and all. So I'd gone over his place. He had a place here in 21st and Market. Max had Tuesday's place. He had a big saloon there. He was bootlegging, selling bootleg liquor with 50 cents a drink. So I went on back in. I got to pay the slot machine. That was 9 o'clock in the morning. I got my check. He cashed it, and 2 o'clock, that's when it took my last quarter. I hit that thing and I busted the three glasses. And he come back there and he wanted, he gonna make me pay $1 apiece for them glasses. I said, I'm gonna pay you now. I said, you got my $32.50 for you, ain't gonna get nothing. I said, come on, he said, get a drink. He gave me 50 cents a drink for my $32.50.
I'll give it back to you?
No, he just gave me a drink.
Oh, for your 32.
Yeah.
So, and he's the guy that rubbed Musi out?
No, Max Fattuzzi?
Is he the one that killed Musi?
No. Fatiga killed Musi.
Oh.
Musi. Well, I believe, what's his name? I said, Max Fattuzzi. I believe Max Fattuzzi when he's born. And I think that George jumped it, and when he jumped it, he was forced to pay for it, and that's when I think that Max Fattuzzi one had him killed. There were a lot of killing there.
What about that gunfight? You said there's the big gunfights downtown?
Oh, yeah, that's when, what do you mean, Fatty Owens and Mitchy Frankovich. I forget the other guy's name. Anyway, they had a big ball right down 23rd and Market.
Daylight?
Mr. Clang, yeah. Maybe, yeah, 3 o'clock in the evening. Right on 23rd and Market, and people going through there, and Scotty Owens killed one guy, and he got shot in the leg, and Mitch Franklin got shot in the back. He was ducking behind cars there. Shooting from behind automobiles. I was on the other side of the street watching him shoot.
What did the cops do?
Nothing. They wasn't going to come after them. They were scared of him. And but no more said about it, that was all. There was no trial, nothing over the guy getting killed.
Was there a lot of rum running that went on here in Prohibition?
Yeah. That's really a big car out here, and they get these boats, and they come in here, the jetties out here.
Mm-hmm.
And around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's where these hijackers were getting the liquor, see?
Mm-hmm.
They'd go out to the big truck, and they'd load the trucks up off the ship, off the boat. Then these hijackers would wait for them, like Mitchy Frankers and I tell you. Then they'd hold up and take the liquor away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was it? Let's see. Well, Dan, your daddy was, he was only about 4 years old. And that's the time I was sailing out there on a beach out there. And there was one boat dropped, I think it was 35,000 cases of beer off. They got, not beer, but whiskey. Or it was White Horse Cell.
Why'd they drop it overboard? The Coast Guard did it?
The government man was after them. They got worried, you see, they get worried like that, and then they throw it overboard, and ain't nothing they can do about it. So, about a month or so afterwards, That stuff start, these nozzles come up and start washing in the sewer. So we were sitting out there, your daddy, an old Model T car. And Bertolini's, the old Peachy Bertolini, he's crazy. He ain't never went to school in his life. And he was out there pulling the sink with his daddy, and he had a deaf uncle. And he come on in with a package about that size, and he picks it up and throws it out of the sink onto the bank. So when I seen it, I know it must have been, you know, lick or something in there. So I wanted to get out of there, and there was three guys in the car. And they got out and walked over there, and it was six pints of whiskey. So he come on in, and they had about 15 quarts of whiskey. So I couldn't figure what the devil it was. So I waited, and they made another haul, and they come in with another bunch of it. So I went on down to Ford. I was at number 4 station, 11 Mechanic. And going in Saturday, he was captain there. So I told him what was happening. So he says, I said, let's go on out there. I said, oh, boy, he's out there dragging up whiskey. So we're going out there, and first call we made, we got 18 quarts of whiskey. Canadian Club, White Horse Cellar. And it was gin, and it was all kinds of wine and everything. So every hall we get something like, you know, 15, 18, maybe 24 bottles. And it was north wind blowing, it was kind of chilly that night. So there was a trailer come up there with three guys in there. Great big old house trailer, when you go house trailer. And they was watching it. So the five of us, we opened a quart of whiskey. We drank that. Well, I then made another haul and done the same thing over again. I had old Model T with one of these turtle backs, you know, in the back. And I was throwing it as fast as I could inside there. So we opened that quart of whiskey and drank that, and then we opened another one. And every time I come in, I'd give each one of those a quart of whiskey. So went on out then. I got caught on one of them waves out there. And they threw me way up in the air and a boat on the side. And I had turned the seine loose, see? No, I didn't. I tied the seine to the skiff. So I heard them howling. I swam over to the rocks. I was, you know, feeling pretty good then. So I got over to the rocks. It must have been about 45 minutes I got back. And when I got back, them guys were gone. And we had 17 quarts of whiskey. They had took it all out. Every time they make a haul, they go in and grab a handful of it. Actually, we should have had about 400 or 500 quarts of whiskey in that.
Remember that time, didn't you tell me one time you were making beer and it blew up on you?
Yeah, let me go there. Okay.
Oh,
so
did you get some beer?
Yeah. No, I was making that beer. Making batchy every other day. As fast as I make it, I drink it. I tell you, I'd make it like the day. They had a regular gauge there. You'd have to go down to, they had a numbers on it down to north, see? And when it hit north, why, it was ready to take out. And sometime I wouldn't wait till it hit north. I'd wait and I'd take it out at 1 or 2, you see? And I'd bottle it. Well, that stuff is still fermenting. So I'd put it in the bathroom, 3 and 4 cases of it, and that stuff would start to explode. And it sounded like a war.
Mm-hmm.
Them things would go off and sound like a gun. You don't want 50 each winning. And I made a batch in there one day. And then Gene was in there. And I hadn't get me a bucket, see, and I'd get ice and to cool it, see. I'd put 10 or 12 bottles in that ice cold water. And when you put that hot beer in there, well, that thing would explode. So I put a bottle in there and that thing exploded, went all over. It was passed right by Gene's eye. I thought it was right around the eye. And all I come out with is the cap in my hand. And one night, the whole 48 bottles went off. And that stuff was coming underneath the door, they went off all over there. And that stuff was power. You know, Mike Martini, that's one. You remember, what's the name of?
Frucha?
Yeah, Frucha. What was it? Oh, Nana, yeah. That's how Nana was. Well, he wanted me to make him some beer. So, he was bootlegging. So he was going to bootleg it. I thought he just only had them 6 gallon crocks. And I know he could make 48 to 52 bottles at a time. So he asked me to make it. I told him, yeah. So he said, how much would you charge me? Well, the malt and all that, all it cost me about $1.50, see? I said, well, I'll make it for you about $3. Oh, I said, that's not enough. I said, ain't enough. I said, well, what do you think it's worth? He said, I'll give you $10. Well, if you sold every bottle, you know, separately at a time, you wouldn't get $7-$8 out of it. So I looked at him and said, all right. So that night he brought the crock over there. Mm-hmm. And he come over with a 30-gallon crock. I made one crock of that stuff, you know, man. And when ready to take it off, I started bottling that morning at daylight. And I was still going at daylight the next morning getting that stuff all bottled up. So I told him, no, that's the last of it. You know, when he got all that stuff out of my garage, he come in the alley. Got all my stuff. He had caught him when he got up to his place a block off and broke every one of them bottles. I had about 5,000 bottles of it. I lost. But I was glad to lose them bottles. But they caught him, and I don't know what it cost him. Paid a big fine. That was Mike Martini.
That's Frucha's brother?
Frucha's cousin. Frucha's cousin was Resta. And, I forget what the other name is. Anyway, Mike was his cousin. They were in a grocery store on 16th Church. We lived right on 15th and 15th Church. And that's how quick it happened. It happened about 5 minutes ahead of time. He'd have caught it coming out of my garage. Well, I'd have been stuck too. I don't know. I'd had to go to Penn because I couldn't have paid it. I didn't have the money.
What about Uncle Bob? Tell us for you.
Oh, yeah, he caught him. He had, I think it's $600,000 worth of liquor he had in his plate. And,
Where did he put it all?
In his house. He had every room there. I'm telling you, the room they were stacked them all out to this far. And from the other side that way, and there's that much passageway in there. And that thing. So we'd go out there every night. Your daddy was little then. Well, him and I'd sit out there, and he'd go one room to the other and bring out a quart of whiskey and sit there and drink. And I'd stay over a couple of hours. So, the next night we were supposed to go out there. We didn't go. I don't know. Something happened. I don't know what happened.
I thought y'all turned the corner and saw the cars.
No, we seen it, you know, every night before that, but they didn't make the raid then. So, we didn't go out there. The next morning, pick up the newspaper, and there was a guy caught with that $600,000 worth of liquor. Right then I knew what it was. He didn't give a name right then, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But Uncle Tony and Frank Lyons there, I think it belonged to them. Because he went to the pen for a year, but he got a big salary out of it.
He went to the federal pen.
Yeah, he didn't cost him. He made off it. He was on a police force. He was a...
He was on a police force?
Yeah, he was on a police force. He was rugged, he was. The place to start on the waterfront, wasn't he? Back in 1927, cotton screwing, longshoring and that. And then when I went to the fire department, he went on the police department. But they had Dick Williamson, and he had two sons, Charlie Williamson and Jensen Williamson. And boy, they would come and they'd get drunk all the greasy. Boy, they were poverty, big guy. They'd get drunk and they'd get crazy. They'd come in a fire station and then take a gun and shoot through the ceiling or shoot the lights out. And then they'd have all the fire material out of there. And,
That was a policeman.
No, that was the Peace and Fire Commission's son.
Oh.
But Bob was on a force, see? Uncle Bob. And he was on 23rd Street. Boulevard beat out there.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie comes on out there, and Charlie was all drunked up. So Bob turned around and picked him up and brought him on in. So Dick Williamson, and he said, "I got a right to arrest it. I'm street Boulevard beat out there."
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie comes on out there, and Charlie was all drunked up. Bob turned around and picked him up and brought him on in.